Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of the Real Teal r/Jaguars podcast. I am joined by my co-host, Chromatos.
Hey, what's up, everybody? And our special guest appearance this week. I'll let him introduce himself a little bit. He can tell you how he became a Jags fan and just a little bit about himself, but it is Laxman. You'll probably find him on the sub complaining, or you'll find him in the Discord complaining. But go ahead and introduce yourself, my dude.
Yep, this is Laxman. As you know, the complaints about the first episode was that it was way too positive, not nearly enough complaining. So, you know, decided to do my part for the community and add a little bit of that ire to it.
Well, that's why we have you here. So I'm going to look good here. And honestly, we'll just jump right in. As far as Jags news, I don't think really anything Jags related that affected us that much this past week since we last recorded.
I don't know. I kind of like peeked around a bit today and to see if there's anything that kind of slipped through the cracks that I missed. But honestly, the Jags are a really boring franchise right now. So, you know, at least until we get closer to the draft, I guess.
Not really a big eventful podcast, but still going to put it out here for you guys.
Yeah, not a whole lot going on. A couple of things that may potentially affect the Jaguars coming up in the next few months. Nick Foles, we talked about last week. He, I guess they were going to pick up his option. The Eagles were. So Nick Foles said, no, that's okay. Don't worry about it. And bought out his contract. So Nick Foles is going to be a free agent. Obviously, there are a lot of Jaguars fans who want Nick Foles. A lot of Jaguars fans, like the three of us, I believe, don't want Nick Foles. And, you know, there are a lot of fans of other team. There's a lot of third-party fans who think we are the destination for Foles. What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Lau. I kind of gave my opinion a little bit last week, so we didn't really. If you want to go ahead and give a rundown here, you know, could he? Do you think he'd fit here? Would you like him here? If he was here, naturally, I would assume you would support him. But what do you think?
Yeah, I'd definitely be supportive, and I definitely think out of all the options, you know, it's not the worst. I mean, like now the latest talk has been a little bit more people floating Joe Flacco to come to the Jaguars, and I definitely don't want that to happen unless it's like on a contract that's much cheaper than what he'd be willing to sign for. I think with Foles, you're not going to get him cheap. He's got enough of a resume now to where he's going to be expensive. And I think the main thing for me is people say, okay, well, you get Foles. He's got the connection with John DeFilippo, if I'm even saying that right, John DeFilippo. I don't really even think that's that important. The main thing I think when people talk about the opportunity cost to get in Foles versus trading up to draft a quarterback or sitting at 7 drafting a quarterback is people think about the picks you have to give up, even if it's just the number 7 pick in the draft to pick a rookie quarterback and the development time there. But a rookie quarterback gives you a ton of cap flexibility. And the thing with Foles is that if you're paying him probably on, I don't know, he's kind of getting old there into going towards 30 now, 31 or so. If you give him like a 3-year deal, that's 3 years where you don't have cap flexibility. I mean, I've gone and, you know, messed around on over the cap, and it just really limits what we can do going forward as far as free agents, bringing in some additional talent we need to help, whether it's Foles or a rookie quarterback. So I think a lot of people aren't really factoring that in when they think of Foles versus some of the other options we have to go. But if he did come here, I mean, I don't know if saying he would fail, I think that's too strong. That's too big of an assumption to make. But I just think it limits your options and what you can do.
Yeah, it kind of gives us the nice thing if we were to go that route, at least in my opinion. While cap flexibility would be tough, we could also fix some pieces in the draft where if we're going to get a quarterback, we're going to have to move up. We're going to have to use draft capital. So, I mean, if there is a positive side to Foles, it would be, you know, we could have more room on the draft.
You know, I think if you know, if they did work out a, you know, if they did work out the flexibility to bring Foles here, I think the most positive thing to look forward to with Foles would be that he's one of those guys, you know exactly what you're going to get when you bring him in. You're not going to expect Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles 16 games out of the year, but you're going to know exactly what you're going to get in most cases. So if that does happen and he does come in, at least we have that knowledge. But obviously I'm still sitting on that side of the fence, you know, with the people who would rather not.
Well, I have a question that might lead to, I don't know, just something that kind of popped into my head here, but people will, again, make the connection between him being Nick Foles' quarterback coach, our new offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo. Now, here's something that just popped into my head. So if you think that Doug Marrone's on a bit of a hot seat, or at least a lukewarm seat, and you're thinking about the levels of influence that our coaching staff has, let's say Marrone gets fired at the bye week. It's been a terrible disaster of a season for whatever reason. Something like last year repeats itself. Who do you think becomes the head coach? You think it'd be John, or you think it'd be Todd Wash? Neither of them really have head coaching experience in their past.
I don't. I can't imagine Marrone getting canned halfway through. I feel like him, Caldwell, and hell, even Coughlin are kind of all tied together right now. So I feel like either they're all gone next year, or it's kind of can. If I was forced to assume, more than likely, I would say if we're losing, it's probably because the offense again. So I feel like they would probably give the reins over to Wash, but it's good. If we start tanking next year, it's just going to be, heads are going to roll everywhere. So yeah, nothing we're going to have to worry about.
If Marrone gets canned, I think they would definitely hand the reins over to Wash, so long as the defense is playing at least decently. If the defense is trash, then they might can the whole coaching staff midseason. But, you know, honestly, yeah. And I do think this year, Doug Marrone will be on the hot seat this year. That's what I think. And I think if Marrone's on the hot seat, I think Wash will also be on the hot seat. If it did come to that and Marrone got canned, I think they would definitely hand it over to Wash.
I agree with that. I think I was just trying to, you know, see if they're, how you guys felt about the level of influence, considering that the offensive coordinator does seem to have a bit of a different style than the head coach, which kind of led to him getting canned in Minnesota before coming here. So,
Let's just hope we don't have to run into that. So,
Definitely a disaster at that point. But I think I do agree with you more in saying that a lot of the FO and the head coach are all kind of intertwined. So I don't think anything will happen in the season at all.
Speaking of different styles, Kyler Murray, apparently as of today, I think, let me double check.
I think it was yesterday.
Apparently tweeted that he's fully committed to the NFL over the MLB. That may have some ramifications on how our draft selection turns out in, you know, more ways than one. So let me ask you guys, first of all, you know, how do you feel about Kyler? And second, you know, how do you think that may affect, you know, how our draft pick turns out? Crom?
So I will start off with, out of a scale of 1 to 10, I will give him a 5.5, because at number one, that's probably how tall he is. Number two, he's a rookie quarterback, which automatically, I mean, I would prefer way over a free agent. I don't care who it is. I would prefer them over a free agent. But the combine will determine how much higher that's going to go up or not. Not so much his, you know, tape, because his tape, I mean, and from what I've seen, it's going to be a little bit more than that. I'm going to research a little bit later, but his tape speaks for itself. Pretty solid tape. biggest thing is, you know, his height. I mean, that could be, but that could be a problem. But we're also seeing his weight, which is a massive red flag to me. And as awful as it sounds, I don't trust our coaching staff to be able to cater to his play style. They could surprise us, but as of now, I mean, I just don't see it happening. But it's still a long off season. He could measure 5'10 and a half at the combine, show up at 200 and, you know, make it a little bit better. And if we were to select him, hey, that's okay. But I'm going to go ahead with your opinions as well as ramifications of the actual draft itself.
I mean, I'm a little bit split. And my opinions changed a lot, like probably in the last just 24 to 48 hours. I think number one, when I'm looking at these quarterbacks, like I know everyone in Jacksonville's just so tired of project guys. So the first thing you look at is like, can you throw? Like, and Kyler can definitely throw. You remove the height, you remove the weight, you remove the questionable commitment to football over baseball, but he can throw. Like, pocket, rolling out, everything. So that's not a question. He's got it. He might even be better than Haskins at throwing. I'm still definitely like team Haskins, like Haskinville the whole way through. But so as far as a prospect goes, I mean, the height, weight, everything like that doesn't really bother me as much. That's really what's going to affect your stance on him. So I won't even bother going into that. Doesn't bother me as much. If it does bother you, then that's a fine position to take as well. What does bother me now is that, so obviously all this is done under the assumption that, you know, that he is fully committed to football. But even outside of that, and maybe this is just something I've picked up being an Orlando Magic fan as well, I guess I'm kind of like always a little suspicious of guys whose families and like especially their dads are kind of running their PR, running their manager campaign, everything like that, and are still that closely involved with them this far along into what is about to become their professional career, you know? So I don't know how you guys feel about that, or if you've even seen like how much his dad is really almost seems to have more influence than he does in making these decisions, but just something I've picked up on a little bit lately.
Yeah. I've noticed that. It kind of remind me a lot of the Lamar Jackson situation last year, whereas like his mother was, you know, making all of his PR moves and kind of almost like in the driver's seat of like the,
oh, like they're a manager more than PR.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And to a lesser extent, you know, guys like LeVar Ball and stuff, you know, who are just, you know, absolutely like managing everything. But I do agree. It's one of those things that also, kind of worries me also as well. The like, you know, the back and forth committal to NFL and MLB and stuff, that's a little unsettling. But I think once he gets on the field, whether it be NFL or MLB, I think he'll be fully committed to one or the other, whichever he ultimately decides. And to Crom's point, like about his height. Height, it's one thing that I kind of consider when I'm thinking about quarterbacks, but at the same time, when you consider guys like Drew Brees, who have like never been hindered by their height, and then you think about guys like Blake Bortles, who's 6'5 and throws balls into guys' helmets, like it's one of those things that like you consider, but obviously, you know, if you're good enough, then you can avoid making those mistakes that, you know, shorter guys would make.
Right. And that's going to just run the risk of whoever decides to roll with him. They're just going to have to deal with it. And that's going to be one big risk. And that boils back down to me. Like, I do not want to burn a number 7 overall pick for him. Again, if the front office thinks he's the guy, naturally support him. Believe he's the guy, you know, kind of just do everything, but he is just not on my list of preferred quarterbacks right now. Again, could change. It's a long off season, but we'll take a look and we'll find out here in the next 2.5 months.
if you don't think he's like a good fit for the Jags, whether, I mean, like you had said, you know, coaching, FO, like maybe we can't develop him, or, and, you know, as a lot of people have said, I don't even really think he is a Tom Coughlin guy, so to speak. Where do you think is a good fit for him in the NFL?
See, that's where it's going to be tough, because you're going to have a good offensive mindset to be able to cater an offense to him. And that's, I honestly, off the top of my head, I have no idea of the quarterback needy teams. I don't know if Jay Gruden in Washington would be able to do something like that. And honestly, I've already forgotten who the Dolphins head coach is.
Honestly, I don't know. The first team that comes to mind is Washington. I mean, he's one of those guys where, like, he's going to have talent regardless of, you know, whether you think he's going to fit on your team or not. Like, the guy's talented. You know, as far as finding a system that he can work in, if you asked me last year, if he were in the draft last year in the place of Baker Mayfield, I would have said Cleveland. But, you know, obviously Cleveland doesn't need him. Arizona was a name that was kind of flying around a little bit. We'll get into that a little later. But, you know, between picks 1 and 7, there aren't any that really stand out as like really obvious landing spots. And honestly, it's when you think of teams in desperate need of quarterbacks, it's really us. And, you know, the Giants say they're going to keep rolling with Eli, but, you know, they're going to need someone soon to replace Eli. Between picks 1 through 7, you've got us and you've got New York Giants.
How about, and this is the last I'll speak on it, but what if it's last year and he's kind of somehow in that draft there? And I know a lot of people had reservations about a guy like Lamar Jackson at our pick. What if he's there at pick 29 there and we're coming off the AFC Championship, maybe still considered an extended Bortles?
I still think the front office rolls Bortles. Again, just AFC Championship. It sucks because that's what got us into that spot. I mean, if hindsight was 2020, naturally different. But, I mean, I still think they roll Bortles this year, hope for the same magic, and hope for a repeat. And, well, that just didn't happen, so. Shit. All right. So, yeah, me and JC talked about it last week. What do you think happens with Bortles?
I think he gets cut. I mean, I think the writing's on the wall there. I mean, no matter the situation, I think that's what's going to happen. First of all, I think that these guys are all working for their job right now, and the best way to extend the lifespans of their jobs is to bring in a new guy to potentially be a franchise quarterback, because you got to give him at least 2 years, right, before you can pull the trigger on firing. I know that's not how a lot of NFL owners and front offices work, but I think it's how we've seen Shad's patience. So I think bringing in anybody, whether it's Foles, even if it's like Teddy Bridgewater, but someone at that level, I think you get a bridge or you get a franchise guy as a rookie. I think the writing's on the wall for Bortles. Not that he's a bad influence in the locker room, but just to help transition into a new era. I don't think he can be there.
So speaking of Bortles, a lot of people, the past few days have made a lot of little jokes about Bortles being in the AAF Hall of Fame one day. At least Locksman, you and I watched a couple of games of the AAF. Kromatos is a little behind on AAF, but we actually had football on TV to watch this past week. And while it was a little different and new, it was kind of nice to be able to sit down on a Saturday afternoon and watch football. How many games did you watch this weekend, Locks?
I mean, I watched the Apollos game the whole way through. Go Apollos, being from Orlando. I mean, it's my stadium. I watched all my college football in as well. But and then I caught a little bit of the Hot Shots game towards the end there. Just because, well, I thought Trevor Knight was going to be playing and balling out there. That was kind of really the hot story for the potential GOAT QB of the AAF's first year. But I guess I'm wrong there, too. So it's definitely like you said, it's awesome being able to see football, like real football that actually looks like football, not arena football. Never really tried the CFL, but, I mean, it looks, feels, smells, tastes like real football. So,
And Kromatsos, since you don't really know a lot about the AFL, there are some new rule changes for people listening who may not know. There are no kickoffs in the AFL. Every team starts on the 25-yard line. So no kickoffs, which is, I know, one thing that's kind of been floating around in the NFL the past couple of years was, getting rid of kickoffs due to all the injuries, concussions, all that stuff.
Yeah, well, just speaking on the NFL rule, I mean, it's just most of the time you see, I mean, kickers can just put it out of the back of the end zone with so much ease these days. It's just adding more commercials, commercial before, commercial after. And it's just time, and that's just wasted time of watching the game. And that honestly sounds great, just because commercials is just one thing that just the biggest frustration by a wide margin for the NFL these days. Let me kind of ask you guys, since you guys actually watch, and like I said, I didn't actually watch it. I kind of actually intentionally held off just so we could discuss a little bit here. I could ask some questions back and forth. I planned on fully getting checking it out. It's the off season, so need something here. But I mean, how would you describe the actual play? I mean, would you consider it closer to college football? Would you consider it NFL? Is it a little bit more sloppy?
I hope you don't like offensive line play because it's garbage across the board.
I'm a Jags fan, so again, don't know who that is.
Exactly. And so I saw the weirdest rule change that a lot of people, and I mean, I balked at it too, because you can only rush five. So that's kind of the weirdest thing. You did see some teams getting penalties on the first night from an illegal defensive formation. So you can only rush five. And if you're rushing two linebackers, I think they have to come from opposite sides or something like that. So it's kind of weird. Not something you'd ever hear or see in college or the NFL. But when you see some of these offensive lines, you kind of understand why, because they're just getting torn apart. Jacksonville's own Ryan Davis was really dominating for the Orlando Apollos, was getting in, felt like he was getting pressure every single day on the Atlanta Legends quarterback. So for that reason, sloppy, yeah, in the sense that the lines are terrible. But you see, for the most part, I think the rest of it looked pretty familiar. It wasn't like necessarily a college like spread wide open. I mean, they are running Spurrier's kind of wide open air raid sort of system there, but it didn't feel gaudy, if that makes sense. I don't know, JC, if you'd seen some of the other games, maybe if it was a different feel for them, but from what I saw, it was a little bit low scoring across the board.
Yeah, I didn't watch a whole lot of it. I watched all of the Apollos Legends game, and then I saw a little bit of the Hot Shots Stallions game, but I didn't watch much of it. I was really kind of focused in on the Apollos game, mostly because of all the former Jags that were playing in that game. I think five total between the three teams, or two teams, I'm sorry, maybe more, I'm not sure. But I kind of feel the same way. It started off kind of a little slow and sloppy. Quarterbacks were missing throws, and guys weren't catching the ball. And like Locke said, yeah, offensive lines were turnstiles. Guys were constantly getting pressure and getting to the quarterback. But then once things kind of started moving along, everything kind of tightened up a bit. And then you started seeing some good throws downfield and some running backs breaking through. And like he was saying, the defense, at least the Apollos defense looked really good. And guys like Ryan Davis had a chance to go out and shine. Even if it's because these offensive lines aren't that great, like it was nice to see good defensive play, especially from guys like Ryan Davis. But also, see a lot of the trickery that these guys had up their sleeves. I know there was one like Philly special. It was good football. I thoroughly enjoyed watching football Saturday.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna try and tune in this week, or at least pay a little bit more attention. I just kind of wanted, like I said, to hold off a little bit, as well as I'm still a little bit burnt out about our season. So, but there's nothing else going on other than college basketball. Duke's got a game in hour and 20, so I got a national championship sometime this year to watch. But other than that, not much else going on for me right now. So.
Oh yeah, and I'm firmly on the hockey boat right now as a Lightning fan. But for weekend events, it's great. And even if it's not for the football, and I know like a lot of the football did look pretty bad, pretty amateur, and pretty rough. The presentation of it's great. The pacing is something that the NFL, if they're not going to take any players from this league, then they definitely need to take some of the takes from the pacing, because it felt much more like a soccer game, you could say, where after a team scores, it's just like the other offense gets right back out on the field. You're not getting multiple commercials in between scoring drives, between kickoffs and everything like that. The one thing I guess I did kind of miss is that, you know, the team just offense just walks out onto, I think the 20 or the 25 and just starts playing. And it did feel a little kind of sad that you don't have a kickoff to kind of signal like, hey, game starting now, let's go. This is the opening kickoff. And Blake would instantly be the MVP if he stepped in there.
I agree. That was the first thing I said when I started watching the Apollos game. I said Blake Bortles is going to be the greatest Orlando Apollo of all time.
That's definitely the way to make me turn in on that one there. So,
So I guess we can pretty much wrap it up there with the AAF. It was week one, so things are going to be a little sloppy and seem a little new, but week two coming up this weekend, I'm definitely going to be tuning in. So I recommend it if anyone was hesitant about watching it, you know, give it a try this weekend and see what you think. So we were all kind of talking a bit earlier about Kyler Murray and some potential landing spots for him. And I know Locksman just a little bit ago, you and I were talking about the Cardinals rumor, or I'm not sure exactly what it was.
So, yeah, that came back with Cliff, their head coach, saying that, you know, if he was an NFL head coach, he would take Kyler.
Okay, yeah, one. Yeah. Before he went to the Cardinals, I guess. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So you know, we were kind of talking about that, and I guess just a little while ago, a couple hours ago, the Cardinals released a they tweeted this thing that said Josh Rosen's our guy. So it's one of those things where you kind of start thinking about it. Like, what if they decided between now and draft time that, hey, we're going to take Murray number one. What happens with Josh Rosen, do you think?
Well, and as Jags fans, the immediate question for us is like, okay, in this weird hypothetical situation, if they take Murray number one and offer you Rosen for the 7th pick, would you do it?
Honestly, that's a little tough for me because I'm really high. I'm very, very high on Dwayne Haskins. Maybe higher on Haskins than I was Rosen last year. So if I were confident that I could land Haskins, I'd say I'd probably take it. Or I wouldn't take it. I would go for Haskins. If I weren't so confident that I would get Haskins, then I would probably take the Rosen trade.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I don't think it'll happen, not least because of any reassurances they've made towards Josh Rosen, but mainly because I think if they're doing that, then they obviously have a plan in place to trade Rosen immediately for a, maybe not a top 10 pick, but somewhere. They're not just going to roll with two highly drafted quarterbacks. I think it won't happen just because the allure of taking Nick Bosa or one of the other elite defensive players in this draft is just too much. I mean, you're basically saying, okay, we're going to take Kyler Murray, make this guy with all of his red flags to be our franchise quarterback, get rid of Rosen, but unless you're giving Rosen to, I don't know, like a top 2-3 pick, then you're not going to have as much as good of a return on investment to help build your team. And right now they definitely could use one of the elite defensive prospects coming out of here.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely a situation where they don't really need a quarterback. They have Josh Rosen. So they don't really need Kyler Murray, but they do need a guy like Nick Bosa. And that guy's going to be there. And with number one pick, you can literally take whoever you want. So I think that's a lot more valuable than, you know, trying to get a quarterback that you don't necessarily need.
Especially if you watch, I mean, I watched maybe two Cardinals games last year and they were bad. I mean, Rosen did not look great in any of them either, but the kid's a rookie. Like, the very least, you got to put something around him, because if you put Kyler in that situation, he's probably going to fail too. The team just sucks, so don't go messing around. Don't overthink.
Yeah, I guess that's – I mean, I Rosen was my top quarterback last year, and, you know, that was just, again, from, you know –
Chosen
like,
Rosen.
Yeah, he was – I was all about the Rosen train there, but naturally rookie, so we'll see. So I guess kind of another thing, just kind of building off that, how much would you guys give? Keep in mind, I'm a big Haskins fan right now. I honestly think he's the best quarterback in the draft by a wide margin. I haven't gotten into Locke yet, but haven't gotten into that. But what would you give up to go to one? What would you be willing to give up to go to one? Because if we go to one, it's going to be costly. And we are going to, our fan base is going to bitch. But what would you guys feel would be fair to go to one and be okay with it?
If you're going to one to really like guarantee it, which I don't think you have to do. I think you can go to three and be safe. But if you're just going to one to try to, you know, take that off snake, get it done right there, it's going to cost you next year's first rounder. There's no way around that. I know I think for me, a more realistic price is hopefully kind of what the Jets did, where they traded basically 3 second round picks to move up from 6 to 3 last year. But you never know how the bidding war might go with the Giants or whoever else falls in love with Haskins. So hopefully, I mean, it doesn't come to that. I would really like to keep next year's first rounder, but I'm also pretty confident. And I know I was brought on here to be the negative one, but I'm pretty confident that the Jags they're not going to be so bad that next year's pick would be like the, say like the Texans, where they traded this year's first rounder to move up for, or to basically get Watson. So I don't think we're going to be missing like a top five pick if we give away next year's top pick. I think it'll, you know, this past year was just a huge disaster. It was just a whole lot of things that came together in such a bad way. And next year, I don't think that pick will be higher than the middle of the first round at the lowest. I mean, maybe that's just dumb optimism for me, but I don't know. What do you think, JC?
Yeah, I kind of agree. Like you said, I don't think you would have to go really any higher than like third to grab Haskins. I don't think Arizona, you would have to throw everything plus the kitchen sink at Arizona for that number one spot. And you're talking about this year's first and I don't know, next year's first, this year's second. I don't know. You would have to give up so many picks, I think. Definitely next year's first. And I know a lot of people will say, and a lot of people have said, you know, to go get your guy, you give up whatever you need. I wouldn't give up that much for Dwayne Haskins. I like the guy. I'm really high on the guy. I hope we get the guy. But if that's what we had to give up for him, I would not be on board. It's still another one of those situations where, like, if they're that confident that he is the guy and they give up that much, yeah, I might be a little pissed about it. But, you know, he's going to be my guy, like, going forward. So.
If it is the Jets trade and it's like, you know, three, I know we don't have 3 second rounders, but maybe like our second, next year's second and our high third or something like that. Are you okay with?
Yeah, I'm on board with that. I could definitely get on board with that for Haskins. Giving up, losing that first next year is just a little bit too much for me personally.
Yeah. See, I don't care what it takes. If these guys are 100% in belief that Haskins is a franchise quarterback, you go get him. I don't care if it's going to take a first next year. I don't care if it's going to take a second this year, second next year, a random fifth. I don't care. I'm of the opinion these guys are on the hot seat, all of them. If they take a rookie quarterback and he shows some flashes, it's going to buy him another year. And then they'll take care of that problem of the draft picks next year. But I that's just my opinion of what I think is going to happen. I honestly, truly believe that we're going to see them move up, take Haskins personally. Again, still a long way to go, but I think they're going to do whatever it takes to get him, because I think he could possibly be the number one franchise quarterback in this draft. And like I said, hot seat. These guys have to make it or break it this year. And Haskins gives them more time.
People are kind of, I hear a lot of people kind of bellyaching about the fact like, oh, you take a rookie quarterback, you got to develop him, you got to wait, our window's now. And I'm like, did any of these guys watch the playoffs this year and see how many second year and third year quarterbacks are just absolutely destroying the league? I mean, so you get, you know, you got Brady who wins the whole thing, of course, and you got Breeze, and they're kind of the stalwart ones. But when we look at guys like Patrick Mahomes, Jared Goff, I know Wentz wasn't there in the playoffs, but he got the team there. You know, you have freaking Lamar Jackson, who can't even throw the football, is getting his team to the playoffs. Mitch Trubisky, all these guys, you don't, Dak Prescott, like, there's no reason why, like, I think that Haskins couldn't have a ceiling of getting us to the playoffs next year.
Yeah, I agree. I've always been of the opinion, I've always hated that saying of, you know, sit the rookie behind a vet. I think if a young quarterback is going to learn, he's going to learn out on the field playing. In the case of Dwayne Haskins, I think if you draft him, you've got to start him. A guy like Haskins, I think, is NFL ready enough that he could take us to a 9-7 year.
Well, I guess we're kind of wrapping up here before we kind of hit some sub news here. We'll just go ahead and get one here, final opinion here. Lax, 2019 starter for the Jacksonville Jaguars. The depth chart for the quarterback position. Who is it?
Who do I want it to be or who I think it'll be?
Who do you think it'll be?
I think it's going to be Haskins and Kessler.
That is my exact thought process as well. Haskins and Kessler for me also.
I am going McCown and Haskins. So I truly believe that they're going to go after Haskins, but already touched on that earlier. So
that would be my second ideal option there.
Yeah, Josh McCown and Dwayne Haskins for me. Well, I guess that kind of wraps us up here. Lax, thanks for coming. We will test this out, see how it goes. Naturally, I mean, we're going to plan on trying to doing this every week, so plan on bringing you back eventually once we try and get through a couple more people, test out some more personalities, rank you last, and then always bring you back there.
That sounds about right.
Any final words, guys?
Honestly, like, check out the AAF if you haven't. It's a really good stand-in while you're just kind of waiting and really hanging on to stuff like Kyler Murray's every report and every move. It's a lot more interesting than that. So,
yeah, I don't think I have much of anything else to say. It was really nice talking to you, Lox. I think this is the first time I've ever actually spoken to you, not, you know, via text chat. So,
yeah, hopefully the last.
Yeah, hopefully the last. We'll see.
Yeah, me and Lax, we went to the Colts game last year, and we were at the top 50 row just yelling Duval over and over, and I don't think my wife will ever forgive us for that.
Oh, just being obnoxious as possible.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's something that as well, sub-wise, plan on trying to, like, throw, like, there's so many things, like, I'm looking forward to trying to work out on the sub this year compared to last year where I was busy. Just like a weekly thread for a meetup as well. Whether that be at home or away game, just something that, just a group discussion as well. But yeah, well, that's all for me today. I'm out of here, guys.
Take it easy.
All right. And thanks for listening. We will be back next week with another guest, hopefully.
And we will also be posting something on the subreddit as well, if you guys are interested in hopping in here with us. Our next week guest could be a little special, so we're going to take everybody on here. Sometimes maybe even two at a time, non-sexually. But other than that, guys, have a good one, and we're out of here.
Peace.